I want to remind us that children of all ages are welcome to remain with us throughout our worship service. This morning, Ruth, our typical children's church supervisor, is not able to be with us, but if you or your family need or desire a separate time and space with adult supervision in your family, you are welcome to retire to our family room and return to worship with us later. And I'd invite you to pray with me, please. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be a delight in your sight. God, you who are our rock, our strength, our redeemer. Amen. As many, if not most of you know, because I've mentioned it more than a few times, I grew up in rural western Pennsylvania. No sidewalks, no stoplights, no nothing. A dairy farm up the road one direction, another farm down the other road. And even though we were not a working farm, we had a very large and prolific vegetable garden, about a quarter of an acre, that we tended as a family. And it had all of the typical and atypical vegetables that one would have experienced in the 60s and 70s. Yes, you do the math. That's how old I am. But we also had abundant flower beds and flower gardens, and we had some fruit trees and a couple of grape vines. Everything seemed to flourish very well under our family and particularly my father's care, with the exception of the fruit trees and the grapevines. I don't remember ever having an edible piece of fruit off of about the 10 different fruit trees we had, and I cannot recall once having a grape off of the grapevines that grew next to our garden. And my dad was a good gardener, because everything else flourished quite well. And I imagine that the reason that these vines and trees never really flourished and grew very good fruit is I can't recall them ever being pruned. Not sure if that's why, but I'm imagining that that's at least part of why they did not flourish. Today we hear a passage from the Gospel according to John, and it's found only in John's Gospel. It may be familiar to some of us, but unfamiliar to others of us. This is one of a collection of sayings from John's Gospel, one of the, quote, I am statements made by Jesus as recorded by John. And there are seven or eight of them, depending upon who's counting, of these I am statements that are in John's Gospel. And in each of them, in a unique and rather emphatic way, Jesus is said to refer to himself as I am, or it is I, and then employs a rich and evocative symbolic image that have come to become titles that are still used in Christian tradition. Those statements are, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And today we hear, I am the vine. For the next 3 weeks, I'm actually picking three of these I am statements to explore and meditate upon and unpack. This week, it's going to be that statement, I am the vine. Next week, I am the bread of life. And the third week, I am the door. Familiar, but perhaps lesser used. These I am statements from the Gospel of John have had considerable theological reflection over the course of centuries, not only because the metaphor is rich and they beg meanings, but at the time and in the place and in the context in which they would have been spoken by Jesus, the comments would have had a provocative impact upon the hearers, more so than is probably immediately apparent to us. We hear these as a statement where it said, I am like this, that, or the other thing. For his Jewish followers, they would have heard in that statement, I am, an echo, an ancient echo of that ancient and sacred and unspeakable name of their Jewish God that was revealed to Moses at the burning bush. I am who I am. So when these statements were made, when they were heard or read or spoken aloud, not only was Jesus speaking poetically, it would have been heard as a bold and a daring revelation that he was connected to the great I am, proclaiming somehow his nature and God's nature were one. These I am statements are bold and they are beautiful, and if they are to be believed to be revealing something about Jesus, they reveal something about the nature and character of God too. Today's statement is the statement where Jesus introduces and calls himself the true vine. And then he extends that metaphor, that image of vine and branches across several verses. I am the true vine. Identifies God's role as the vine dresser. Then gets to the core of the issue, it seems to me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That is a brilliant and straightforward image, isn't it? You do not have to know anything about grapes. You don't have to have been raised on a farm or even be much of a gardener to understand what he's trying to say. It's all interconnected. You don't get fruit or flowers without it being attached to a living branch or a stem, and without that being attached to a living vine or another stem or a trunk. And when a branch is severed, extraordinary measures are usually necessary to salvage it and keep it alive. So there are two things among many, but I'll pick two, that strike me about this vine and branch image today. The first one is this connection is about mutuality and dependence. It's about mutuality and dependence. Notice the use of the word abide in me. Abide is different than believe, isn't it? Abide isn't believe. It's not an admonition to affirm some checklist of dogma. It's an invitation to remain present, to stay connected, to be rooted. The vine needs the branch to produce its fruit. The fruit needs the branch to be connected to the vine. It's a life-giving network of mutuality and interdependence. And the second thing that strikes me is, in some cases in Scripture, the notion of pruning is seen as a negative and a punitive judgment. And in some cases, that is accurate in those images. In this, we're reminded that pruning is, in fact, an act of loving care. An act of loving care. I was raised with those big vegetable and flower gardens, and as anyone who has ever had a garden or raised any plant, maybe even inside, pruning can be a really hard choice to make. You have seen this lovely little plant emerge and grow, and these fresh, light green shoots are sprouting up all over the place. And then all the advice is, you need to pinch that back hard, or you need to cut it off really close. And I don't know about you, that's hard to do sometimes. It's so pretty, I want it to just grow and grow and grow and flourish. To pinch off and to prune is, in fact, though, an act of care. It's not a punishment. It establishes a life-enhancing limit, a life-enhancing limit, rather than dissipating the flow of energy in all kinds of directions with sprawling and weedy and weak growth. It directs and focuses the energy to yield abundant flowers and fruit. The energy has a source and a flow of which we are an integral part, to which we are invited to stay connected. And sometimes we get clipped or pinched back, and our growth gets even stronger. Every time I hear this scripture quoted, "I'm the vine, you're the branches," I remember my childhood pastor in my rural Presbyterian church. When I was growing up in the Presbyterian church, communion was an infrequent celebration, maybe four or five times a year. So every time it happened, you really paid attention. And as a kid, you really paid attention because I didn't have communion until I had confirmation class, so I had years of paying attention to what all the grown-ups were doing before I got to have a chance to take it myself. And it was a rather solemn observance because it happened infrequently. And I remember Reverend Ralph McCandless would tell the story of the Last Supper. He would celebrate communion in ways that are very familiar to us if we've ever experienced it. It would be distributed at our seats and the little pass-around plates with the itty-bitty cups and the little squares of bread. And we would hold the bread and the cup and commune together. But what he would say as we communed together, he would lift the cup and he would say those words, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And we would commune together. Now, these words from the Gospel of John are set during the night of Jesus' betrayal and arrest. They are set on the last night of his earthly life, but they are not specifically set in the context of the Last Supper. There is no Last Supper recounted in John. So I always wondered why that was said at communion. Was it because we had grape juice? This connection to communion, I have discovered, is more than superficial. Every week when we remember the words at the Last Supper, in English, we recall that Jesus took the cup and says, "This is my blood," in the traditional English language, which makes many of us squeamish and uncomfortable. In the language of the New Testament, which was Greek, the word that was used in the New Testament was haima, which is rightly translated blood, but also the same word is used and translated juice. But in Aramaic, which is the language which Jesus would have spoken with his followers, his native language, his daily language in Aramaic, he would have used the word, "This is my dema," an Aramaic dema. And in Aramaic, there is one word, the same word, as in Greek, for blood and for juice and for sap. "This is my dema," Jesus said. How might things be different if we said, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is my sap." If we understood that what comes from a human vein is the same blood and sap that flows from a tree, maybe we would have a different relationship with the natural world, eh? What if we took that cup and we heard, "This is my juice, my sap. This is the sap which flows through the vine, which I now give to you, my branches." That is viriditas. Anyone know the word viriditas? Viriditas. Let me remind you, some of you have heard it. Viriditas is a term that is most prominently associated with the famous 12th century theologian and mystic Hildegard of Bingen. And if you're unfamiliar with Hildegard of Bingen, she is what can only be described as a Renaissance woman centuries before the Renaissance. She was a prolific writer, she was a theologian, she was a botanical master, she wrote volumes about medicine as well as letters and poems. She wrote the first surviving religious morality play that is in existence. She supervised the production of breathtaking illuminated manuscripts at the Abbey of Rupertsburg in the Rhine Valley of what's now Germany. She was the abbess of that abbey. She is probably best remembered today as a prolific and original composer of music that has experienced its own renaissance in recent decades. And if these achievements were not enough for one pre-Renaissance woman, as a mystic and a theologian, Hildegard constantly offered this vision of viriditas. It's a Latin word that means literally greenness. Viriditas, greenness, vitality, fecundity. Remember that word? Fecundity. Lushness, growth. We in the Pacific Northwest live for that green lushness and growth. That pulsating life force present in our lives. Maybe it's because she spent her life in the fertile Rhine Valley. She understood this viriditas to symbolize not just physical but spiritual health and reality, and was a reflection of the divine aspect, the divine nature. I think it may be no accident that Hildegard lived in one of the lushest and most prolific wine-producing regions in Europe. You know, I'm thankful to live after 19 years in Southern California and then a couple years in Northern California. I'm glad to live in a green place like the Pacific Northwest. Yes, it's been wet. Just saying, newsflash, if you hadn't noticed. So wet, in fact, that moss is growing on my car. I suppose I should wash my car a little bit more frequently, but just to notice. But I don't know about you, as wet as it has been, sometimes I still find myself a little thirsty, a little spiritually thirsty. Anyone ever find themselves spiritually thirsty? Maybe we branches need to remember our connection to the vine. I want to invite you into a little guided meditation. I'd ask you to take a few moments, and if you've not yet settled yourself comfortably in your seat, please do so. And if your legs are crossed, I encourage you to uncross them and place your feet comfortably on the floor and relax. If you fall asleep, that's okay. Your neighbor will just give you a little elbow in the side. And if you're more comfortable meditating with your eyes closed or lightly closed, please do so. I'd ask you to take a couple of relaxing breaths in and out and feel your body comfortably resting in its seat and your feet comfortably connected to the floor. And as you feel your feet connected to the floor, begin to imagine they're not just connected, but they are rooted in. Like a vine that finds its, that like a vine in which your feet have found their root. And as you, as a branch, feel in the vine, begin to feel the energy, the juice, the sap, the greening. extend from the vine up and in and through you. In the warmth of the sun, in the drink of the water, you feel your branchness grow and expand and reach out. Does it reach out through hands, through eyes, through lips, through head? And as you grow with strength and joy, along comes a careful vine dresser with curious eyes and loving hands, leans in close, appreciates, and says, that shoot is perfect for rich fruit. But this shoot, not so much. Growing the wrong direction away from the sun. So, that energy, that sap, goes to the fine fruit of this shoot, and snip! Oh, that's a momentary pain, a momentary loss. Take a breath. And feel a surge of twice as much life and sap in the branch that remains. Full, ready to bloom, the branch of the vine. Is it blooming from your hands, your lips, your head? Fruit sets in the warm sun and the cool night. The juice that has flowed from the vine that has flowed through you flows and swells the ripening fruit. Is the fruit light or dark in color? And now they come and gather the fruit for the table as juice to set aside and ferment, to be shared with others. Is your fruit sweet to the taste? Is it luscious and full-bodied? Does it sparkle with joy? Does it intoxicate with its deep laughter? Pause and give thanks. Give thanks for abiding in the vine, and what has flowed through the vine has flowed through you into the fruit and through the fruit into the world. Take another breath. And if your eyes are not open, open them and return. We get thirsty, and the world is thirsty for life-giving, joy-producing juice that we have tasted. We do not and cannot produce it of ourselves, but we can be connected to it. We can abide in it and let it flow through us into the world. Please pray with me. God, remind us that we need to be connected to you to bear fruit, to bear the fruit that the world most needs. God, we pray that your Spirit continue to draw us back over and over again. Graft us back in when we have fallen away, that your sap can fill us once again. In your holy name we pray. Amen.